Hello and welcome back to another episode of Under the Lights. Well, the season has started. The window is shut. It's looking quite exciting for Southampton fans. My name is Tom Murray.
My name's Callum Wilson and this is Under the Lights.
Callum, six league games in. We're through to the next round of the Cup. 10 players signed in the summer. What is going on?
I know. For once, the transfer window's delivered and more on, I think, on a lot of the expectations. So many players bought in. A bit of a turnaround, a few players going in the other direction. A very youthful, exuberant-looking squad. And some real potential and real excitement in some of the players that we've bought in. Some players we've seen and have played, you know, most minutes this season. Some we've seen less of, but that's all to come. And suddenly the squad looks
new,
far more exciting. It looks fresh. And for the first time in a long time, I can remember, maybe in the last 6 or 7 years, we have some serious strength and depth, which is what has been hampering Ralph since he got here. And the lack of coaching staff, which we've also put right as well. So, yeah, I think there are no excuses. You don't have that crutch to stand on now as fans, as management team, as the club, in terms of no backing. And we've been hampered with spending the money once you gain it from sales. We've spent some money and we've bought in some good players with an exciting philosophy. So, yeah, they're young. There will be mistakes, but I'm looking forward to this season.
Yeah, there's a great amount of potential in the squad. They seem to have got changed over the old guard, as it were, in terms of, you know, your Bednaricks, your Redmonds. Really, they said at the start that they wanted to really vamp up the squad, make it a real sort of change around. And Sport Republic have certainly delivered on that with a sort of a change in the way that Saints want to operate and buying young and, you know, just giving them that pathway to express themselves on the pitch, show their quality, and they will get that move to a top side. And I think that's a really good model for a club like Southampton to have, because it means we get a reputation of having these world-class young talents. And that will, in the future, if they can see the pathway to a Liverpool, to a Tottenham, to a, you know, Barcelona or something like that, then it's a pathway that is going to be recommended for Southampton. I think the Premier League, there's so much money in the Premier League, there's so much risk that there hasn't been actually a club in the league that's had the really had the gumption to go for it, to go for this kind of model. And I'm excited that Southampton is the team to do it, because we know what Ajax have done, we know what Borussia Dortmund have done, we know what RB, you know, Leipzig and the clubs in Portugal have done. Obviously, Saints are nowhere near the same level, but they show with that model what can be achieved.
Yeah, and as you said, it's all about the age of the players, and we've also obviously we've recruited a lot of youth players from Man City, and a lot of that comes off the back of bringing in Shields from the scouting department there. So he knows the players we're bringing in there. And it's a model that we started last season, really, with bringing in the likes of Tino and Broya on loan, bringing in those players using Chelsea's strength and depth in their youth academy, players that otherwise would have been loaned out to the likes of Vitesse for 10 years and never get a game. At our academy, in, you know, for a while now, has been... It dried up a bit, you know, judging against our history and the sorts of players that we brought through. Southampton's academy, you know, we don't need to go through the list of players. We all know them. But in the last, since Ward-Prowse, maybe you could argue that a real top talent hasn't come through, unless I'm doing someone a disservice and I've forgotten. So, but it looks like we're kind of not letting the other academies do the job for us, but we're pinching the top talent at that youth level that aren't going to get into the likes of Chelsea and Man City's teams, and giving them a real chance at a place like Southampton. And what we're proving now, we did last season, and we're certainly proving this season, is if you're a young player at a big club and you want first team football in the Premier League, Southampton are the club that's going to give you that. And you know, we set a precedent of saying, look, come to us for a few years and you'll end up in one of those first teams, whether it's via a buyback clause or selling on to another big club, because we've been used as a stepping stone for quite a while now. So it's exciting for now. The club's model is good in that it's going to make money for the club, which is the main reason for it. But I think it's going to excite the fans, and Hasenhüttl likes to work with young players that he can mould. So this is his kind of vision as well. And Sport Republic have really backed it. So let's go through these signings then. We'll see if we can agree on a kind of a rating, a mark out of 10. With all things considered, we'll look at value for money. We'll look at the potential for sell-on value. Obviously quality, position in terms of what the club really needed. Put all those in a bowl and mix it up and see what comes out. But I think there are going to be quite a few highly rated based on those parameters, in all honesty. So
should we start with Mateus Liss and just get that one out of the way, because that was more of a bargaining chip with Göztepe in Turkey, that kind of signing. I know that he didn't end up going there, but in terms of we needed a backup keeper with Forster going. There was rumours that McCarthy was, their club were open to offers to him. So I'd say, you know, free transfer, 25 years old, played for a team that finished bottom, got relegated of the Turkish Super League. I'm going to give it like a 5 out of 10, just because it's clear that he's not going to, unless we have some sort of injury crisis, then he's not getting anywhere near the goal.
Yeah, strange one, isn't it? We don't need to talk too much about it. It's 25. It's one of the older signings that we've made. Yeah. 25. Makes me feel old. I haven't seen him play. I don't know how good he is. He's come in as, again, for strength and depth in the goalkeeping department, which we severely lacked. Is he better than McCarthy? I don't know. There were rumours that McCarthy was going to go and sit on the bench for Man United, where Dubravka's ended up going, potentially other interest. It sounds like we were looking to ship him. Didn't happen. If that was going to be the case, then I think Liss would have been supporting Bazunu as a backup goalkeeper. So he must have something about him, but I don't know enough. Like you said, he's come from a team that, when we bought him, was now in the second division of the Turkish league. So yeah, I'd give him a 5-6 out of 10, just on the basis that it's added to the strength and depth. You know, he must have something about him. And I haven't really got much more to say on him, to be honest.
Well, should we go for the main man in goal, sort of the first major signing of the summer, and Gavin Bazunu? It's always nice to take your bitter rival's player of the season. But he's not just a player of the season in League One. He is a very, very much an up-and-coming young goalkeeper that Manchester City didn't want to leave.
Yeah, Pompey fans can't get enough of him. They can't talk more highly of him. And you can tell how he was playing at such a low level last season. I don't really understand, because he's come in and he's settled in as Southampton's number one. He's taken on that mantle. We know how difficult that is to cement, because we had two goalkeepers for the last 2 years kind of swapping about every other game. He's come in and he's gone straight in and he's looked really confident for 12 and a half million. Do you think it's a risk? Because I think from the outside looking in, with the kinds of goalkeepers that were being signed around the Premier League, i.e. Sam Johnston, I'm talking about Dean Henderson, Nick Pope, they're all names that have done it in the Premier League, that are well known, that have got top flight games under their belts. Gavin Bazunu has not played in the Premier League until this season. He was in League One last year. He's jumping up two divisions. It was a risky signing. I think it was a really brave signing to make, to think that he would be our number one. But he's come in and he does look really impressive.
Yeah, he certainly does. I was very much thinking it was a risk at the time, but he obviously has got a hell of a lot of confidence. in himself, and I think you need to as a young player coming into the Premier League. But I think it's going to be a running theme throughout a lot of our signings this summer. It's a risk. You don't know if they're going to come good, but from what we've seen on the pitch so far, and we'll go on to the likes of, you know, Romeo Lavia, and that it's worked if you give these players the opportunity. I think my rating of Bazunu so far, I probably give him a 7.5 or an 8. He's obviously got a hell of a lot of talent. Seems one thing that I love about him is his directness with the ball at his feet. He seems to be so consistent with finding the head of Shea Adams every single time. And we've been sort of bereft of that in the goalkeeping department. Forster's and McCarthy's distribution, even going back to the likes of Kelvin Davis, whose goal kicks would just go out for a throw-in pretty much every time. It's nice to have that cracking distribution from the back, but he also seems to have the confidence of the defence in front of him. Made a couple of mistakes. I think he let the Pedence goal against Wolves. He probably could have stayed big a bit longer. Went down a bit too quickly for that one. But, you know, he's young. He's 20. It'll come. And he's made some fantastic saves so far. So, yeah, Sova, I'd give him a solid 7.5. I'll give him an 8 just because there's a hell of a lot of potential with him.
Yeah, I'd even argue an 8.5. And I think it's boosted on the basis that we've been crying out for this player in this position for seasons. Yeah, he might be a solid 8 out of 10 player. But I think when you are comparing it to what we've had to put up with for the last few seasons, it's a breath of fresh air. He's happy to come out with a ball at his feet, spends most of his time on the edge of the box, playing in a way that Hasenhüttl has wanted his goalkeeper and defences to play, just hasn't been able to do. So I think he's going to get the best out of the defence in front of him. But I think, like you said, balls up to Che Adams, the way in which we want to play out from the back, I think he's going to have a big impact on the team in general. Let's do this. Let's do this in position order then, since we've done both goalkeepers. This seems to be the way we're going. Let's go on to the centre backs, and we'll start up with Bottle of Ketchup, the main man at the back, Big Heinz, Armel Bella Kotchup from VfL Bochum, 9 million. He's already getting plaudits from within St Mary's and around the Premier League. The guy seems like a bit of a monster, and I am pretty excited about what him and Salisu could do together, because we've been crying out for a competent centre-back. We've been playing three at the back for quite some time, on and off, not because it's a favoured formation, but because we've been dealing with the likes of Stevens and Bednarek and Valerie and the likes. This guy's come in, and not only does he enable us to, not only does he give us a centre-back in a three that we think, oh, okay, we've got a couple of decent ones here, but he's allowed us to play the formation that we want to play and that we look best in playing, with four at the back, allowing us to have an extra player going forward, which I think is huge. Based on that, I'd give it a 9 out of 10 because I think he's bossed some of the games he's been in. Yes, he's raw. Yes, he has made mistakes. I'm trying to think what the game was. Was it the Chelsea game, maybe, where he tried to show the player down the line and then almost ended up stumbling to try and tackle him with his head on that left wing? He's got a mistake in him, but Salisu, and they're young, and that will they'll develop into, I think, a great partnership. So I'll give him a 9 out of 10 because I think in some of the games he's been the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, I'd have to give him a 9. Some of the last-ditch tackles that he's done have not been sort of out of desperation, but they've been measured. They've been timed perfectly. And I think it was the game against Leicester that I sort of stood up and thought, wow, this guy is the mustard, because the likes of Harvey Barnes, Jamie Vardy were trying to outpace him and out-muscle him down the left-hand side. And he was brushing them off and sending them to the floor just out of sheer body strength. And he wasn't taking any of it, and the referee wasn't buying any of the acting from Barnes or Vardy. And I think there was that smile from Jamie Vardy after he went down one time, as if to basically just say, almost smiling to himself, as this guy's got me beat. He just looks so good on the ball. He's very silky on the ball, and we know that he's got an eye for goal as well. I mean, it was only about 20 minutes into his debut against Leeds, where he decided just to shoot from about 30 yards on his weaker foot, almost putting it straight in the top corner. Yes, he has mistakes in him, but he's raw, he's young. But for a signing that seemingly came out of absolutely nowhere and was announced within a couple of hours of the rumours starting to fly around, a solid 9 out of 10. Great signing. It almost, just onto the next centre-back of Chaletasar, fantastic signing from Saints. So I think a real coup in defence. But it's almost to the point of, when's he going to get game time?
Yeah. I think he's a great signing. I think he's one of our more high-profile signings. He's 25. He's been in a World Cup final. We're aware of him already. Been playing at Marseille. Really exciting bit of business on that flurry of deadline day signings. But yeah, it came at a time just after that Leicester game and indeed the Chelsea game, where we had two wins, two solid displays from the defence, and we've just gone into that four at the back. I think if we do play three at the back, suddenly we have a really strong three, and that's an option. But surely he's come to Southampton to play first-team football. And right now, Belakotchup and Salisu, I don't think you can drop. So this is what I'm talking about with strength and depth. Suddenly, we've gone from centre-back, which for a good few years now has been an area of real concern, along with the goalkeeper, where we've been struggling to find a player. We're bringing in the likes of Lianco as a signing and hoping he was the saviour. Bednarek's played almost every game in the last 5 years. And now we've got these three, with Lianco looking to back up as well. I think he's terrific. I'll give him an 8 out of 10. He hasn't made his Saints debut yet, but I think he's a real calibre signing for us.
Yeah, I'd go for an 8 out of 10.
And 9 million as well. Again, another.
I really agree with that point. You know, when you think about it, when Saints have gone from Salisu, Bednarek, Stevenson, Lianco to Salisu, Belakotchup, Chaletasar, and Lianco. It's a hell of an upgrade to have that kind of quality. Yeah. And we've been playing a three at the back, as you said, not for the fact that we've got three strong centre-backs. It's that weird thing of we're playing three at the back because our defence isn't good, so we're going to add an extra below average to poor centre-back in there and hope that it plugs the gap by just having more people at the back. No, the defence looks incredibly exciting. I'm excited to see where he fits in, and also it will mean that Belakotchup and Salisu can't really rest on their laurels. They know they've got some good competition for places there. And also, as shown with the injury to Lavia, Belakotchup is young, Salisu is young. They're not going to be able to play every single game, and you don't want to burn them out. Where do you want to... Actually, no, we'll stay in defence because we...
Let's go with the fullbacks.
The fullbacks. Juan Larios. Can't say I know anything about him. 6 million for Manchester City. I've read that Manchester City fans were quite sad to see him go. From the games they saw, he looked fairly decent at left back. And we've had that comment from Ralph of, I can't wait for the fans to see these players in action. But we wouldn't have bought him to not be in the first team, especially with the injury to Tino, the lack of match fitness for Pero. We're kind of in a position of not actually having many fit fullbacks at the moment. And Genepo, as great as he's been so far this season at left back, is not a left back. I can't really make too much of a decision about Larios. I'd say probably a 7 out of 10. I'm going to need to see him first.
Yeah, I think that's fair. 6 or 7 out of 10. Can't really say much about him. Can't say I've followed Man City's under-21s too much. But what we've had so far from Man City's under-21s and that we've seen play has been top draw. So he's got a lot to live up to. As has Adozie, who we'll get on to. It's just a shame we bought him in on deadline day and he wasn't an earlier signing, because he strikes me as someone that we probably could have got a deal done for and maybe only decided to get late notice, because we've had no Tino, we had no Perot. Gineppo's done a stellar job, by the way, at left back this season, but that's not his day job. That's not what he should be doing in the team. And he perhaps would have been a good player to have in before Perot came back and is now gaining his match fitness. That being said, he might not be ready, and they, even if he was in the door, Ralph may not have wanted to throw him in at the deep end. But another Man City youth player, high regard, 6.5 out of 10. Can't say anything until we've seen him play. But these are the sorts of players that, you know, next round of the Cup, Sheffield Wednesday, I'd be expecting to see him make his debut along with some others. But yeah, good signing again, youthful player. He's another 18-year-old. And I'll look forward to seeing him play after what Ralph's been saying about him. Let's go on to Ainsley Maitland-Niles then, because he can play fullback, can play centre midfield, can play wide, play most positions. On loan from Arsenal, a player that Hasenhüttl has been interested in for a while. Strong rumours that we tried to do this business last summer and he ended up going to West Brom so they could play in his favoured position, which we understand is central midfield. What do you make of this signing? 25 years old, England, I say international, he has got an England cap, and plenty of experience in Europa League and Premier League.
I'd say I'd give him a solid 7.5, to be honest, because he's adaptable, play different positions. I thought he was good when he came on against Wolves. Just good squad depth. I think it's at 7.5 as well, because whilst there's an option to buy, there's no obligation to buy. We're not stuck with him, whatever happens. But I think, if you're looking for squad depth, and with the likes of Lavia out for about 5-6 more weeks, for cover that I think can adapt to the style quite quickly. He's obviously happy to be at Saints and just play where the manager wants him. Solid signing.
I'd give him a 7, but I think on the basis that when you think about Maitland-Niles, the first thing that comes to your head is, oh, that's good cover, good versatility. He can if we get injuries, he's a player that can play in a number of positions. My concern is I don't actually know how good he is in all of these positions. And what I mean by that is you often see players that are signed from bigger clubs and they come to play for the smaller clubs like us. And he might be in the first 11 at St Mary's for a game at left back. And actually, it reveals some sort of, I won't say weaknesses, but it shows that maybe he's not defensively as sound at fullback. Coming in for a team like Arsenal, who have most of the possession, big team, usually playing on the front foot, doesn't have to do that much defending, to then coming into Southampton and having to cover left back or right back, for instance. Yeah, I might be doing him a disservice, but we don't know how good he is in those positions. In the same breath, do we really know how good he is in central midfield? Because he didn't really get that opportunity at Arsenal. He didn't pull up trees at West Brom. So for me, when everyone's fit, he doesn't start for Saints. A really good option to have on the bench. And he's alone, so there's no money spent out there, which is good. And his versatility is something that we have severely lacked over the years, which is why I would give him a 7 out of 10. But he's a player that is interesting to see, because like much of these, they're a bit of an unknown. We know of Ainsley Maitland-Niles, but I think we'll know a hell of a lot more after seeing him at St Mary's this season.
Just before we move on, I think he has potential to, I think, he certainly has the potential to be a bit of a, maybe even be like a Kyle Walker-Peters type of signing, where fairly average, not in terms of like the signing, fairly underwhelming when he joined, thinking, oh, okay, this is, Cedric's gone. I suppose this is what we can bring in. And now Kyle Walker-Peters is probably, in the top three players at the club. And we're desperate to keep hold of him.
It's an opportunity, isn't it? It's an opportunity. It can work both ways. An opportunity to get first team football and really cement yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to see with him. But right now, with Lavia's injury, like you said, he's getting a run in the side central midfield. But first game against Wolves, the team weren't particularly fruitful there, but I'm sure we'll get plenty of opportunities. Who do you want to go on to next? Romeo Lavia, central midfield?
Yeah, why not? And I think to start off with him, the fact that Chelsea are bidding 50 million quid for him after he's played six games is fairly telling about this particular signing.
This is a madness, isn't it? Like, what is wrong with Chelsea? Well, well, that's a whole different topic of conversation altogether, especially after what happened yesterday with Tuchel. But how do you not know how good this player is before he gets signed? Like, how much? Right, we signed him for 11 million. Chelsea could have signed him for 11 million. They've seen him play five Premier League games, and all of a sudden, times that by 10 and just throw it at Southampton. Crazy. I can never remember seeing a player move to a club in a window and then have a serious transfer bid to be moved immediately within the same window. Like, that never happens. But anyway, we'll get more than that for him. What's his buyback, actually, for
40.
City's less than that, isn't it? Yeah. Well, if City don't go for him, we'll get more than 50 million for this lad. He is a different gravy altogether. Like,
he's outrageously good.
He's going to get so much better as well. Like, in the end, he's pushing, like, he's like 9.5. If Kotchup's a 9 out of 10, this lad's a 9.5. I'm not saying he's 10 is the best you can possibly be, and 9.5 is pushing that. I'm saying in terms of a signing for Saints, it's almost perfect. 18, playing like he's played the game for 20 years already, coming from Man City, serious pedigree. He dislodged Romeo, a player that has been in a stalwart in our team, one of the first names on the team sheet for the last 6 or 7 years. Came in next to Ward-Prowse. He's good off the ball. He'll get stronger, but he's tenacious. On the ball, he is the player that we go to get us ticking, to switch the play. You know, he won't, what he could add to his game is a little bit more forward thrust, passing through the lines. You know, he's very safe. He'll drop in very deep and recycle it and 1-2 with the centre backs, or maybe pop it out to the winger. And that will come as well. But then he went and got himself a really good goal before he got injured against Chelsea as well. So yeah, I think Saints will make a lot of money off the back of this one. They're just hoping that Man City aren't the ones that come back in.
But let's just face it, with Romeo Lavia, the way that he's playing at the moment, to rate this signing, we'll be lucky if he's pulling on a Saints shirt this time next season, to be honest, because he is just that good. And, you know, one of those players who hadn't actually had a Premier League or a senior appearance before joining the club. So massive risk. A lot of other clubs were thinking, why have they gone for him? You know, why are they spending this amount of money on a player that's never actually made a first team Premier League appearance? Well, shows that. And what, again, another good thing about this model is that if Saints do sell him and can sell him for above 50 million, then they suddenly got a huge pile of cash to get his replacement in. So exactly, it's a good model. So very exciting. I think he's probably one of the best performers up with Bela Kotchap for he's definitely with first signing of the season. Let's just go on to the next one. I think Joe Aribo, should we go for?
Yeah.
So Joe Aribo, 6 million, I think, was the figure. You know, for a player of his experience playing 70 matches last season, a left-footed, creative, attacking midfielder, winger, forward, a player in the position that Saints have been crying out for quite some time, sort of taking the load off Stuart Armstrong in that role. I'd give him a solid, you know, 8. I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10 just because of the games that I've seen him. He does seem to get a little bit lost. He's got great close control and an incredible balance in terms of having that low center of gravity where he can just wriggle past players very, very quickly whilst containing control of the ball. But aside from the goal against Leeds, I'd like to see a little bit more from him. But I guess is the club's only real attacking midfielder at the moment, because Armstrong doesn't seem to be performing like he used to. There's a lot of I suppose the onus is on him to be the instigator of all of our attacks at the moment. And sometimes in games, he's just got a little bit lost.
Yeah, I think he's brilliant, mate. Honestly, like, I think he is so far ahead of every other attacker we've got at the club. Like, so far ahead. Like, he's playing on a different level. The way he affects games. Now, the problem I have is that I don't understand how he's not on the team sheet every game. Mm. You know, I know you say that you want to see him do more, but I feel like if we gave him more minutes, he would do. He's come on and he's changed games, changed the game against Leeds. When I went up to watch Leicester as well, and he was, until he went off injured, he was brilliant there. Not only is he really, really skillful with the ball, but he's strong. He's a big lad. And also, he's tall enough that he wins a lot in the air as well, so he can get us out of trouble. I think for 6 million, he's like an 8.5 out of 10 for us, from what I've seen so far. I mean, he scored in the final of the Europa League last season, and we've got him for 6 million. I mean, I don't know how we managed to do that and no one else nipped in. 25, so, you know, getting on a bit. But I think he's a player that hopefully could be at Saints for a little while. But the way he's going, yeah, I think we have missed an attacking midfielder who can create and score goals on a regular basis. And I think this is the guy to do it. Left-footed as well, like you said, which is something that Ralph's wanted for a while and we've been missing. And he's versatile. He can play in a midfield three. He can play on either wing. And he can play in the front two as well if we need him to. So I prefer him on the right of a four, personally. But I think he also does a job in the number 10 role as well. So, yeah, get him more minutes. stop playing players like Elianusi ahead of him. And I think he is one of the few game changers we've got in this team now. So I'd give, 8.5, I'd give him.
Fair enough. Yeah. No, I agree with what you say. I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm not giving him enough credit just because he's not getting an assist or a goal every single match. But no, he's definitely a player that we've been crying.
You can tell he's got the quality, though, can't you?
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Gabbiadini in the way of just on a slightly different wavelength to the rest of the team. But when he gets the ball, you know that he is the mustard. I just wish we managed to get Gabbiadini into the goal-scoring form from his first few matches. Anyway, on the left-hand... Anyway, a little bit of a tangent there. Sam Edozi. let's talk about... Apart from the fact that, in his 15 minutes on the pitch, he did more than pretty much any of our other attacking midfielders did for the entirety of that match. Exciting talent, raw. He's got great feet, great dribbling, but still that rawness in terms of that run where he did get into the box and there was clearly no one else to pass to in the box, but he still hit it across the face of goal with no one to tap it in. But he's a player that gets his head up and runs at the attacker immediately. He reminds me a little bit of Nathan Redmond when we initially bought him, when the confidence was high and he wanted to take players on. Incidentally, Redmond's now left for Besiktas. But if he can keep that confidence high, I think he'll be a first name on the team sheet after the World Cup, he will probably be one of the first players on the team sheet.
I'm hoping he'll be starting for us sooner than that, to be honest. I saw him briefly. I'm not going to say that I know much about him, but he has played for Man City in cup competitions and maybe even in the league. But he was one of those players that was on the periphery, but obviously with the talent they've got, wasn't going to get that chance. And the 15-minute cameo that he had against Wolves was like a YouTube compilation for a player over their entire career. The guy was making good Premier League players look like absolute mugs. That nutmeg on Ruben Neves.
Yes.
And then to take it around someone else was just filthy. And again, he's something we've been crying out for. He's something that we hoped, I'm basing this on limited minutes, The proof will be in the pudding. Can he do this week in, week out? Can he do it from the start against players who are fresh? You know, was it because he's coming on against players who had been running? In which case, that's a great opportunity for Saints as well to bring him on to run at fullbacks who are on yellow cards and are jaded. Based on what we've seen, we've been missing a winger who gets the ball and his first thought is, I can beat my fullback. I can take him on. Redmond used to do it, but we've been crying out for him to do it for years. He's a player. He looks like the player we've wanted Gineppo to be going forward. You know, Gineppo can go past a man, but it doesn't look as slick. It looks like it, you know, there's always a 50-50 chance he's going to lose the ball. You know, the boo fouls, really technical, can go past players, but this guy knows how to go past players. And I know you said fired the ball across goal, but with an end product, which will get better. And by that, I mean, you know, he nutmegged Neves, but then he could have turned around to the corner and then stood him up again and gone. He nutmegged him. Then he managed to go around the outside of another player, got into the box where something could happen. And if he keeps doing that and he's making players of that quality look that shit, then, you know, he will be someone to get bums off seats in St. Mary's 100%. I'll give him a 7 out of 10 based on that quality cameo that he had. But he is a player I'm looking forward to. And I would really, really be excited to go to St. Mary's and see Sam Adozie on the left wing and Joe Ariba on the right wing. And two up front. I think suddenly our first team could look really good. And we've got options, which is what's really come about from this transfer window. So Sam Adozie is, again, great strength and depth, and he'll be knocking on the door for a starting place soon. Again, another player that I feel we could play against Sheffield Wednesday in the Cup. And, you know, I'd be confident that Saints could go on a Cup run with the sorts of players that maybe aren't playing in the league in the first 11. And we can go, right, here's a young player, go and play against this League One defence and could absolutely tear it up.
Yeah, I completely agree. And on the note of the Cup run, with there being 7 all Premier League ties in this particular round, and if Saints were to win this one, I think the following round would the fourth round isn't until after the World Cup. So it could be a fantastic chance for Saints to get really quite far, especially with 7 teams from the Premier League knocked out. And also a lot of, if we were even to get a big club, a lot of their players will have been at the World Cup, so they might not even be able to play a full strength side that they'd want to. So there's a great opportunity. But just going back to Sam Adozie, before we go on to our final summer signing, what really got me, I think, was a lot of the runs he was doing on the outside, but the one that impressed me the most was that one where he skipped inside and was to the edge of the box. And, you know, for an 18-year-old or 19-year-old, I'm not quite sure, but he could have easily looked up 25 yards from goal and just try and hit one on his weak foot and have a go for goal. Instead, he did that reverse pass and put Sekou Mara through the defence. Obviously, the shot was blocked, but I just thought it showed quite a level head maturity of quite a young player to pick out that part instead of having a go for goal when you see a moment in the headlights, in the headlines, not like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, definitely. He looks creative. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But I think I can't really give him too much more than Juan Larios, just because aside from those 15 minutes, we don't know an awful lot about him, but there's certainly talent and looking forward to it. Having him on the pitch. Let's talk about the final summer signing. I think it's the final one. Sekou Mara. Now, obviously disappointed that we weren't able to get that 30 to 40 million pound striker in. And obviously hopes were all pinned on Cody Gakpo, but
yeah,
PSV pulled the plug on that one. But it's exciting to know that Saints are certainly ambitious enough and they've still got that money to spend on signing, and even if they had something set up for January with a different player, there's only about 10-11 games to go maximum until that window opens. So if Saints really wanted to get that marquee forward in, then I'm sure they'd be working behind the scenes to try and get something for the first week of January. But anyway, enough about that particular one. That's a discussion for another podcast. Sekou Mara is the one that we brought in. Sort of, I think when we talked about Premier League predictions, we sort of agreed that it was one of those where an opportunity arose to sign him and we took it, whilst not necessarily maybe like high up on our transfer list of things to get done. When it's that sort of signing, when you're given the chance to sign a player like that, highly rated, 19 or 20 years old, highly rated in Ligue 1 for a club that just got relegated, and for quite a low figure as well, you take it.
Yeah, I think he's a difficult one because he could go one of two ways. You're right in the fact that I don't think he was on the list of players to bring in this summer, but then after what happened with Bordeaux, there was an opportunity to bring in a 19-year-old forward who could definitely add to our options and strengthen us in terms of depth. And I think that's what he will provide. I think he shot up the food chain quicker than expected or quicker than planned based on his performance when he came on against Leeds and that assist, which was just incredible. But then again, he started against Leicester and was completely lost as the lone front man. It's definitely not his game. So he is a work in development. And I think that's why a lot of fans were a little bit disgruntled at the fact that we didn't bring in that striker that was promised all window. Because, you know, we brought in Sekamara, but he is not the striker that we were intending to bring in. He was an addition because an opportunity arose. But he does have that kind of little, he's got something about him. You know, he's got, you get the feeling that he could do things that not many of the players in the squad can do. And he'll have moments. It's just about getting his all-round game good enough to be in the Premier League. You know, that assist was quality in the game against Man United when he came on and, you know, hit an overhead kick and just chipped one wide. He looks like, you know, if you're looking for a goal and you're pushing and you're pinning them back, Sekamara is someone that you can throw on the pitch to be in those attacking positions and could just maybe come up with something to unlock the defence or to get that goal. So, yeah, I'd look at like a 6.5 to 7 out of 10 with the potential to be much higher. But right now we just don't know. But I think he started better than Ralph and everyone expected him to. But I don't think he's ahead of Adams, Armstrong, you know, Rebo, those sorts of players in the forward positions right now. What's your consensus on Sekamara?
Yeah, I'd give him like a 7, 7.5 just because of the short time that he's been on the pitch. I have been impressed. Yeah, was a bit lost against Leicester, although when he got that chance, albeit offside, he took that chance like a player who'd been playing in the Premier League as a forward for quite some time. Very composed finish. Shame, obviously, it was offside, so didn't count. But Man United, he has something about him, just as you said, like, it's almost like an awkwardness. Like, defenders don't really know exactly what he's going to try, whether it's a sort of a gangly overhead kick, almost Peter Crouch-esque. I know he's not that tall, but he's still fairly tall, but you're not quite sure where the ball's going to go. And I mean, the assist against Leeds has obviously bought him significant brownie points because it's an outrageous assist. But, you know, with the formation looking
just
like...
just an example of what I was talking about.
Yeah.
He can come on and open the defence when we needed and to get us that point.
I think, as it's clear, we're now playing just the one centre forward at the moment. Shea Adams is going to be the main man and Mara is going to have to do what he does from the bench unless Adams gets injured, considering that Adam Armstrong now looks to be a wide player whether he likes it or not. He's been putting in that wide role, which, to be fair, I think he's done really well so far. Got a good goal against Chelsea and being a bit of a menace down that left side just with that pace. Because even if he isn't, it's a strange one. I don't want to make too many comparisons to Shane Long, but I'm just saying that with the pace that he's got, he's one of those players, he's still a Premier League forward that you can't afford to leave alone. So to have someone with that kind of pace, it always means that the defence and the opposition have got to leave someone marking him or close to him, because you can't just let him have that amount of space to go down the left. But Mara, 7, 7.5, a lot of potential, but I don't see him starting at the moment unless Shea Adams continues to handle goals in from half a yard out.
Yeah. And we've said this on this podcast before, and we'll say it again. Adam Armstrong will come good. He will. He'll get those goals. He's coming into it now. He's just got to learn how to play a new role. But that's all of the incomings. Quick note on the outgoings, because we've got a few notable absentees. Big pardon. Players who have been here for a while. Jan Bednarek's gone out on loan. Good riddance.
Gone to a bigger club.
Sorry, Jack Stevens on loan to our little brother's Bournemouth, which will be good for him because it's more Premier League minutes for him, which he's not going to get here. Will Smallbone, good loan for him out to Stoke. Same for Nathan Teller, who is absolutely ripping it up in Burnley and could be really, really good business for Saints because he might come back a different player. I think it's perfect for him. It's what he needs.
Yeah.
To play in that division against physical players, get goals, get used to putting the ball in the net in front of goal, which was his main issue, his end product, and then come back with that confidence so he can do it. Dan and Ndulu is still on loan. And then Nathan Redmond and Aura Romeo, of course, have now gone. Sad to see Romeo leave. Thought there was still a place for him in the squad. I do think it weakens us. He's gone to Girona. And, of course, Nathan Redmond has just gone to Besiktas, who seem to have the most odd squad of Premier League rejects that you'll ever see. Just a word on Romeo. I think out of those is the main notable absentee. He's been a really big player for Saints and one the fans didn't want to see leave.
No, he was very much sort of still not quite sure how he didn't get a red card in his Saints career. Quite the achievement. But no, came in 2015, 5 million. Brought into Ronald Koeman's side as sort of like a backup, almost like a Maitland-Niles type of one, of just providing cover in the middle whilst he had the likes of Wanyama, Stephen Davis, Jordi Clasie as the main midfield, and just bruised his way into the side. I think for me, his best performances for Saints was when Claude Puel gave him basically the dictating role in the middle of the park. He was fantastic as that single holding central midfield at the base of the diamond. But he gave everything for Southampton, wore his heart on his sleeve, all those cliches, and put in that fantastic tackle on Mason Greenwood that Manchester United fans have been forever angry about.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not too bothered now, though.
No.
I do think, I know there was goodwill in letting him leave and go back to Catalonia, where, you know, where it all started for him. But from a selfish point of view, I think I really think we should have held on to him. We'll come on to that. Right, let's very briefly go through Saints' season so far. 6 Premier League games. We've got 2 wins, that 1 draw against Leeds, and then 3 losses. And obviously, we've got through comfortably against Cambridge United in the cup. What have you made so far of this new look side, and how they've managed to compete so far in what we must say was a very tricky start to the season by all accounts when looking at it, when fixtures came out back in June.
Well, I'll start off with the Spurs debacle at the start of the season. It really I really got vibes of Everton on the first day of the season last year, where we took the lead, and then as soon as they scored, our heads dropped and the inevitable demise came about. And if we'd done a podcast after that one, I think it'd be this, you know, same old Saints, not learning anything. It's just, you know, why have they stuck with Ralph? It's clear that we're in a rut and we can't hold to a lead, yada, yada, yada. And then obviously after the Everton game, things picked up, although we didn't get that win for a while, but we had a difficult start and we picked up some good points. I think since then, all changed. The players have learned. Every point that we've gained this season has been from coming from behind, which is unheard of for Saints under Hasenhüttl, considering that run last season, the season before, where we went 1-0 down, we conceded a goal, even if it was in the second minute of the game, and we just go, right, that's it. We're not getting anything from this game. We'll huff and puff. Might do something in the last 10 minutes, you know. It's not going to happen. That's another defeat. Now, this team, people say, you know, youngsters, they're not going to have the experience and they're going to be able to get back into the games, but they sort of have this young arrogance of, no, I'm not going to be beaten. I'm not going to let us get a defeat from this. To come back from behind against Leicester, great one. Obviously, to come from behind as well, to beat Chelsea, fantastic, incredible performance. I was sitting, I don't think my nails really cope for the second 45, although it was a great defensive performance. I think we're now playing as a team. We haven't seen it for a while. We've seen the heads drop. And I know that under Ralph, there is that, just because it's happened time and time again, you know, there is that ability to go on a winless run for 10, 15 games. But at the moment, we look like a team and everyone's fighting for each other. And let's face it, apart for the Wolves game, yeah, we've lost 1-0, but that was pretty much one of Wolves's, I think the Wolves only shot on target. And aside from that, we dominated and should have got something from it. So we're not, since the Spurs game, we're not being battered and completely outplayed. We're in games and look like we should be taking something from all of them.
Yeah, I agree. And I think despite the fact that we're yet to get a clean sheet in the Premier League this season, I think defensively we look better. It is brilliant to be on the other end of the turnarounds because, as we know, Saints have struggled to hold on to leads, whereas now we're the ones that are coming from behind, which is brilliant. But in the last four games, since that centre-half partnership of Belichick and Salisu, and we changed that formation partway through that Leeds game to the more favoured 4-2-2-2 or 4-3-3 on occasions, we've only conceded one goal in each of the last four games. We haven't kept a clean sheet, but Leicester only scored one. United and Wolves did as well, obviously, as well as Chelsea. Two of those games we scored twice, so we won 2-1. But in the other two, unfortunately, we were unable to get on the score sheet. And that is looks like that's going to be the fight. That's going to be what our season will be determined by is whether we can get those forward players getting goals. Che Adams looked for a few games like he was going to be the man to do that, and hopefully he will put that miss against Wolves behind him, because terrific hold-up play, winning every header against big, big centre-backs and good centre-backs and against the likes of Chelsea and Man United and Wolves. And I think defensively, I'm quite confident that if we do go a goal up, that we can see it out. And that's off the back of the Leicester and Chelsea games in particular, because against Leicester, I can't remember a time where so many minutes of added time were played and Saints didn't really even have to defend at any stage apart from sort of the edge of their box and some long balls. They never looked, there was never that chance. I think we scored in 82 minutes. There were about six added on in those 14 minutes. The centre-backs got rid of a few, but Bazunu didn't even have to do anything. So Chelsea the same, you know, really did defend it as a team and got through that. So I think if we can start getting our noses in front, then we have a really good base to work off. One thing I will say, and I know you've mentioned that the striker and the £30 million striker, I mean, that would be potentially the answer. Yeah, if we've got Cody Gakpo in as that star signing in a forward line, then we'd have someone who can maybe do what Danny Ings was doing and win us the games we were drawing or equalise in those games that we were losing in. We don't have that. The only other thing, I've mentioned it, I've touched on it, is I thought in terms of where we were as a squad, I thought we were in a really healthy position when we signed Lavia and we still had it for an area of the field that we were at our strongest, because Romeo and Ward-Prowse as a two have been brilliant for years. Add Lavia to that mix, suddenly someone like Romeo, who was first choice and one of the first names on the team sheet, is on the bench. Suddenly we're looking really strong. You know, he can come on and we're not weakened. He can play in the cup games, really big player, rather than having to rest him. And I felt it was a mistake letting him go, because I thought, I was hoping actually we play 4-3-3 and have those three in the middle, because I think we would absolutely boss games with that three in the middle. Allows Ward-Prowse to get forward a bit more as well. Never played 4-3-3 until the time that Romeu went out the door, and then all of a sudden we were playing 4-3-3 and Elianusi was sitting in there, or Armstrong. So that was a shame. I would have liked to have seen that happen. And now the fact that we've lost Lavia, we're short in that holding midfield area, because that's not, Diallo isn't that player, and I'm not sure he's that quality. I mean, then we don't really have anyone else. You know, Maitland-Niles will sit there, but I don't think he's an out-and-out holding midfielder. And the Wolves goal showed that. When you've got Walker-Peters bombing on so high up the pitch, when a counter-attack comes in and Salisu has to go over to the left to track the winger, and then Belakotchev has to follow the striker in the middle, and all of a sudden you've got Pedence at the far post, absolutely unmarked, Walker-Peters 20 yards further up the pitch. That's the sort of position that Lavia or Romeu would be picking up. Or Romeu would be, you know, controlling and pulling back Walker-Peters. So that goal in particular, I won't go into huge detail, but that was a complete shambles in terms of a defensive, you know, it was a calamity. Someone should have been there. That was Walker-Peters' man. But that's why you have your holding midfielder there. And we didn't have that against Wolves. And we are going to miss that until Lavia comes back. So I wish Romeu would have stayed. And had we got another striker in, I think that's a 10 out of 10 window.
Yeah, if we had that striker in, taking those chances, then, you know, we could be looking really at pushing for the top 10 this season. Not saying that we can't do that anyway with the team that we've got at the moment, but certainly that is the missing piece. And it seems to be with Saints that no matter what we do, we're always that one or two players away from being that top. Being in the top half of the table. It's always, oh, in a couple of years' time, that Saints team is going to be terrific. Or, oh, if we just got that striker who could convert chances, then, you know, we'd be pushing for the European places. But
we had Romeu though, and we let him go. I get that it was that goodwill and everything, but
we know it never works like that. But hey, we can't play against Bednarek. That's a shame.
We should have put it in the clause.
He has
usually
to play.
When you loan a player out, you don't play against us, but usually he has to play against us.
Yeah. No, please play him. No, he's great. No, he's a terrific player. No, seriously, that back pass that he did to the goalkeeper that almost was an own goal, that is the kind of stuff he can offer you. Just a great vision. It's good. It's good for the team morale.
Did he do that for Villa at the weekend, did he?
No, I don't know, but could you imagine like the likes of Danny Ings and Matt Target. Oh, no, Matt Target's at Newcastle, but just Danny Ings at Villa going like, oh, we've signed Jan. Okay.
Should have gone into the boss and given it the old, nah. I heard you're bringing in Bednarek. Is that true? Yeah, honestly, boss. I really wouldn't.
No. We're going to bring in Jan. He's going to be great for the team. You know, obviously Diego Carlos was out for a while. He's like, no, boss. No. Please.
Great impression.
Or the Jamie Carragher. Hey, if you just pause it there.
I think it'll be fantastic. He'll have a great season and they'll sign him permanently. And then he'll show his true colours. That's what we're hoping for.
Fingers crossed. Right. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to find us on Twitter, you can find me at T214Murray.
I forgot we did this, but you can find me at Callum Wilson 21, I think.
He remembers. Okay, fingers crossed for a win at the weekend.
What about the pod? Where do you find the pod?
Where'd you find?
Under Saints.
You know what? I almost forgot. Yeah, under_Saints. That's where you can find us on Twitter. Even if we can't remember, I'm sure you can find us.